Can Greece negotiate its financial troubles from the voting booth? Martin Schulz, the president of the European Parliament, doesn't sound terribly hopeful today.
It's now up to the Greek government to make proposals which could convince the 18 other member states of the Eurozone and the institutions in Brussels that it is necessary, possible, and even effective to renegotiate. But this depends now from the proposals coming from Greece.
Critics of the EU say the disconnect between bankers talking to political leaders is not a family feud. It's a structural problem that the European Union has never come to grips with. Gisela Stuart is a British Labour Member of Parliament and an early drafter of the EU Constitution. Stuart says for Greece to stay in the EU under the current arrangement would be like giving Alabama a credit card and allowing it to run up debt and bankrupt California and the rest of the U.S. economy.
If you try to create a political union and a single currency, then you can't have a single currency before you have the political union. And what we are seeing in Greece at the moment is the failure to acknowledge and understand that. And the reason why I'm angry is because the people of Greece are paying the price for the mistakes of the politicians.
How would political union make this work better? I mean, in a sense, you'd still have the divisions between North and South in Europe and the very different economy in Germany and Greece.
Indeed, but it seems a bit arrogant for me to tell this to the people of the United States of America, because you have understood that to have a United States of America required a political will for various parts of the union to pay the price of bringing the rest of the union up to the same level. It requires integration of your taxation systems to a much greater extent. And it also requires a willingness for one part of the union to pay for another part of the union. What we have here is neither of these conditions being put in place. And we have a system where the interest rates and the whole structure is actually good for the largest country, i.e. Germany, but are really bad for the countries on the periphery.
How would Germany and Greece behaving more like, say, California and Alabama in the United States solve these problems? And what would Greece and Germany have to do to make that work?
You can put different structures into place. But the real difficulty is that you would require to establish a common demos, a common identity. And I think this is where the European Union runs into trouble, because whilst the French and the German taxpayer are prepared to pay for crises, are they prepared to pay year on year? And I don't think they will.
And in a political union, you resolve these problems in the political sphere just the way Germany resolved its issues of subsidizing East Germany after the wall came down. That's not been the case in Greece. When you go to Greece, what do you see that underscores your concerns about the differences here?
Even if you look at the way they collect their taxes, for example, one of the things which the European Union was trying to impose and hasn't really succeeded in is a tax collection system which is functioning much more efficiently. It asked the Greek government to create fewer jobs in the public sector, so you had much more private enterprise. And in a sense, the Greek people resented being told by Brussels how to conduct their own affairs. The European Union was meant to be controlled and run by the European Commission, overseen by the European Parliament. But what you have is that the Greek people think it's actually Angela Merkel, the German president, which is forcing these things on them, not the European Union. So these are the tensions which are a problem. It's a bit like if you had in the United States of America, that it's not Washington that's telling Alabama what to do, but Milwaukee, which isn't true, but that's what it looks like.
Gisela Stuart, you're a Labour MP representing a constituency in Birmingham, but you are German-born, so you have a pretty interesting window on all of this. I'm just wondering, from the perspective of the UK, which has always been suspicious of Europe, is there any likelihood that these countries, UK included, would ever give up their governments, their sense of sovereignty for a wider union, even if prosperity was the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow?
And because of my background, I have no ideological baggage in a sense. I can live with federalism. I have for a long time. I don't fear it. But if you go back to the early 1970s, when you had the European Free Trade Area, where the largest country was the United Kingdom, and you had the common market, which always had its ultimate political aim, a single currency, a creation of a deeper political union, and the main countries were France and Germany. In a sense, the minute the United Kingdom joined the common market, as it was then called, it deprived every other small country in Europe of an alternative model on how to relate to each other. And I think what Greece is showing us is this everlasting tension, which 40 years on still hasn't resolved itself. And you could argue that the original aim of the original six founder countries who wanted to stop France and Germany ever going to war have succeeded in their aim, but then overstretched themselves.
Gisela Stuart is a British Labour MP representing the constituency of Birmingham. She helped to draft the constitution for the EU. Gisela Stuart, thanks so much.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.